We'll go over this here a second after we pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. We are grateful and thankful for our salvation. Thankful, Lord, for just allowing us the opportunity to be here and to fellowship and to get encouraged and to be uplifted. And Lord, we're just thankful for the Spirit in us that draws us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, it's just a great time to be alive. And Lord, we're just thankful for the truth you've shown us in the past. We're expecting great things today, Lord, as we study out your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just kind of this book, guys, has been a huge help to me. A lot of the things I know in here, but one of the hardest things is the timing of things. So this has been a huge help with timings. He breaks it down really well. So after we do Revelation, it's going to be in my office. If you guys want to grab it and kind of look over things more, because all the books in my office, you guys can grab and take out. Just write me a note saying you took it. You know, that way I'm not looking for it going, what'd I do with that? You know? So this has been a huge help. I think it's only like 10 bucks or something. But it's been really helpful. That is by Mark Hitchcock, Hitchcock, Mark Hitchcock. And if you guys like YouTube, I would check out the John Ankerberg Show. The John Ankerberg Show. And he's on that show. Some other guys on YouTube. They'll do anywhere from a 2-minute to a half hour video on all the topics we're going over now. And so it's really, really good. One thing that I have noticed about studying Revelation and end times things is a lot of the truths in Scripture are being elevated also. So as I'm studying out eschatology, a lot of truths in church are coming clearer and clearer. It's really cool. I'm not even trying to do that. And so it's really making it clear to me, seeing the only book in the Bible, which you're obviously going to be blessed by all the books, but a promise from God, you will be blessed if you read and heed these things in the book of Revelation. I'm seeing that now. It's just making the truths I know now that much clearer and firmer to stand on. So in that handout, we'll probably get to one of these today because I'm going to go through Ezekiel 38 today. But events after the rapture. Now this stuff takes place in heaven right after the rapture. All right, we're going to see some things. I'm going to try and get the judgment seat of Christ today, and we'll go over those verses. Things that happen in heaven, marriage of the Lamb, there's verses there on that. It's towards the end, right before the Battle of Armageddon, but still. And then Revelation 4 and 5 have some songs that are sung, some things being done in heaven. And again, from Revelation 4 on, there's no mention of the church. So that's one belief why we have that the church is not going to go through the literal 7-year tribulation period, all right? Daniel's 70th week, right? According to Daniel 9:24-27. So Daniel's 70th week is a literal 7 years. And again, what's the purpose of the tribulation? Who's God focusing on? Israel. So there's a definite distinction between the nation of Israel and the church. So that's why we don't believe in replacement theology. Since Israel rejected Christ the first time, the church has taken over those blessings. No, we don't believe that. They're two separate entities doing two separate purposes. They're kind of they're in harmony going like this, but right now Israel as a nation is on the back burner. Now, can Jews be born again right now? Absolutely. The Jews were the first born again believers, right? Acts chapter 2. So obviously the Jews can say the first churches for the first 8 years of ministry were all the Jews only. The Samaritans didn't get it until Acts 8, which is about 8 years later. Half Jew, half Gentile, and then Acts 10, the Gentiles get it. So it lays it out for us in the book of Acts. So absolutely Jews can get saved individually. But as a nation, God is going to use the 7 years to bring them back in repentance to him. And that's clear in Zechariah 12 through 14. We'll get to that later when we go over the millennium. So on this paper here, just kind of a quick thing, kind of a little theme to go over that we're going to go over moving forward. We're going to see these things taking place. So again, we believe that the church, because it's not appointed unto God's children to wrath, according to Romans chapter 5, and the tribulation period is called God's wrath, the time of God's wrath. Okay? So if it's not appointed for God's children to wrath, that doesn't mean that we're not just going to partake in wrath, but that we're not going to be around during that wrathful time. Does that make sense? So if Thessalonians tells us that God's children aren't going to see wrath, Romans tells us God's children aren't going to see wrath, that wrath is linked to judgment in that seven-year period. So Romans 6 tells us the first 3.5 years is God's wrath. Okay, when the sealed judgments are coming. So if God's children aren't appointed to that time, that era, that age, the church will be taken out before that age starts. Does that make sense? And again, it makes Revelation 4 through 19 clear. If there's no mention of the church, everything's about Jews. The 144,000 Jews, the two witnesses are Jews. A guy working back the nation of Israel, Jews. So if the church was still important, why aren't we seeing that? Right now, will people be saved in tribulation? Absolutely. Like the sands of the sea, there's going to be a lot of people saved, Jew and Gentile. And so a lot of them are going to be martyred. There's going to be a lot of martyred Gentiles in the first 3.5 years. A lot of martyred Gentiles that are going to be born again. And so it's crazy. Go ahead, John. No, the seal judgments are the first 3.5 years. We'll see that they're a seal. They are. That's why in Revelation 6, during the sealed judgments, the first 3.5 years, and the trumpets go in the first 3.5 years too. The seventh trumpet opens up the bowl judgments that go into the later 3.5 years. That's the time of Jacob's trouble, right? But the 7 year, Daniel's 70th week, is literally 7 years. So if God is going back to the nation of Israel for a 7 year period, all of it is the tribulation period. Not just 3.5 years, the whole 7 years of the tribulation period that God's dealing with, because we see the Antichrist. So what starts the tribulation period? Well, the Antichrist signs the peace treaty, not the rapture. Well, the Antichrist signs the peace treaty, boom. Now that 7 year period starts with Israel, which brings us to Ezekiel 38. Okay, because there's two different views here. On Ezekiel 38, one view is that prior to the rapture, prior to the rapture, we're going to see nations ally up and go against Israel. Okay? They're going to surround Israel. But God is going to deliver them. And we're going to look at the weapons God uses. Now, the reason why, we'll get to the details here in a second, the reason why I think it's about 3.5 years before the rapture is because in Ezekiel it says that the children of Israel are going to burn the weapons that are left behind by the armies that get destroyed. They're going to burn those weapons for 7 years. Okay? So some people believe, well, if the Antichrist is the one that helps them and takes the role of delivering them, then that means that 7 years of burning weapons has to go into the later 3.5 years, which if Israel flees, they won't be able to burn weapons for 7 years. But not all Israel is going to leave Jerusalem. They're going to be Jews in Jerusalem also. They're not all going to leave. So one view is that 3.5 years before the rapture, the nation of Israel will be surrounded. And as they get surrounded, we're going to look at all the nations that are going to do it too. They're going to come to wipe them out. We're going to look at the purpose on why they're doing this. God's going to deliver them using a handful of different weapons. And they're going to start burning those weapons. Now, one key issue too that's confusing, you guys following so far? One key issue is that in Ezekiel, it does say that Israel will be at peace. Well, that goes into the 7 year tribulation period. So Israel's not at peace. The only time it's mentioned where Israel is at peace is when the Antichrist signs the peace treaty, which starts the seven-year tribulation period. So there's some debate, and this is not anything to break fellowship over. This is not anything that it's going to change your relationship with the Lord. You know, it's just we don't know, right? It's tough. So if people have different beliefs on Ezekiel 38. More power to you. Everyone has Bible verses, and the two biggest ones you're going to see in all your YouTube videos that are pre-trib mainly. Where they disagree is, it's got to happen before the tribulation because they need 7 years to burn. And so at the 3.5 year mark, when they all leave, they can't burn weapons. I don't agree with that personally, but you can believe that. That's okay. And then the other one is, well, the only time Israel's at peace when the peace treaty is signed by the Antichrist. That's in the beginning, at the tribulation period. So those are the two things. Is that clear? Those are the two discrepancies, just the timing. Yeah. So we are pre-trib. Yes, we are pre-trib. Yes. Yep, so we do believe, because of verses like in Romans and Thessalonians, that it's not appointed to God's children to wrath. Another one is that the restrainer will be taken away. We believe that restrainer is the church. Timothy says that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. So if the church, the Holy Spirit, in the body of believers, as Christ's bride in the church, okay, that's the truth holding back Satan. Yes, through the church. That is, you know, when he's lifted, which we believe is the rapture, when he's taken away, we believe it's through the rapture, now they're going to be all lies. There will be no pillar and ground of truth when the church is raptured. See how this all kind of fits together? Now the Holy Spirit is going to be here, you know, because he can't, he's omniscient, he's everywhere. He cannot not be gone, right? But it's not going to be through the agent of born-again believers in the church era. Right? That makes sense? All right. I know. So there's two things you said that kind of go against each other. Great. So we'll help with semantics. The church era ends after rapture. We don't know how long after the rapture the Antichrist will sign that peace treaty. We don't know. Some think it's right away, because as soon as the church is raptured, because that's one view of the restrainer in 2 Thessalonians. Well, as soon as he is gone, the Antichrist is, boom, he's in office. Well, we don't know that. It might not happen that fast. It could be a week, a month, a year. Right? Which goes into Ezekiel 38. Because one view is that with Ezekiel 38, that if you have the view that it's going to happen before the rapture, that this will allow the Antichrist to come in and seize power, because he can be the one to take responsibility for the victory, which will usher him in to sign the peace treaty. The other one is he's already signed it, and again, that helps elevate him more. When nations come against them and they get wiped out by God, he can say, see, it's a good thing you signed up with me because look what I did. That makes sense? So there's two views, and each view has strongs and weaks, and I don't care what one you take, okay? All right, so Gog and Magog. Let's go to Ezekiel 38. So Gog is a person. He's going to be the prince. He's the leader. Okay? You're going to see that here. So Ezekiel 38, look at verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, thus says the Lord God, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and I will turn you back and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with a buckler and shield, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Put with them, all of them with shield and helmet. I will do so to Gomer and all its troops, Beth, how would you pronounce that? Tagarma, of the north quarters and all its troops and many peoples with you. Be prepared and prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled to you, and be a guard to them. After many days, you shall be called. And here, this next sentence is one that the people during the people that believe it's going to be during the 7 years, they use this term right here. In the latter years, you shall come. So that latter years is usually in reference to the tribulation period. That's what they would say. You shall come into the land that has restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered out of many peoples, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always a waste, but its people were brought out of the nations, and they, all of them, are dwelling safely. See that dwelling safely there? The only time that happens, according to the Bible, is they're dwelling safely when they sign a peace treaty with the Antichrist. Now, does that mean they can't have it outside of that? No. But usually when you see that language, it's biblically in reference to the tribulation period. All right, verse 9. You shall ascend and come like a storm. You shall be like a cloud to cover the land, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. So all these lands, they're going to be. It's going to be the northern part of Africa, all the Stan countries, Russia, this prince, this leader is going to lead them. Now, again, this can't be the same as Gog and Magog in Revelation 19, because Christ is going against, or is going to go against this man, not Satan. The Revelation 19 battle, that is when Christ comes out of the Battle of Armageddon. Two different battles here. Same language, Gog and Magog, but two totally different things happening. All right, thus says the Lord God, it shall come to pass on that day that things shall come into your mind, and you shall think an evil thought, and you shall say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. That terminology, the unwalled villages, again, is linked to that peace treaty with the Antichrist. Now, does it have to mean that? No. In Scripture, is it usually? Yes. So, they're dwelling... I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go against those who are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bar nor gates. Okay? So this land is at peace. They're not guarding it. Their walls are down. So these nations are going to say, hey, we're going to go up against you. You know, we're going to go up against you. Verse 12. To take spoil and to seize prey, to turn your hand against the desolate places that are now inhabited, and against the people who are gathered out of the nations, and who have obtained livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the world, Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all its villages, shall say to you, have you come to take spoil? Have you gathered your company to seize prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, see, there's that terminology again, right? Shall not know it. And it shall come from your place out of the north parts, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses and a great company and mighty army. And you shall come up against my people Israel, as the cloud to cover the land. It shall come about in later days, again, tribulation verbiage there, that I bring you against my land, so that the nations may know when I shall be sanctified in you, O God, before their eyes. So see, this here, the nations are going to know that God did this. Right? It's going to know that, hey, this, because we're going to see some signs coming up on why it wasn't a man, which may help the Antichrist exalt his authority to say, look, see, I did this. All right, we're going to read the rest of this, and I'll go over some notes, okay? We'll bring it together. Thus says the Lord God, 39:17, Are you he of whom I have spoken in former days by my servants of prophets of Israel, whom prophesied in the last days, or in those days, for many years, that I would bring you against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fear shall come upon my anger. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. So God's going to use an earthquake as one of his weapons, okay? God's going to use an earthquake when these nations surround Israel. Again, different than Battle of Armageddon. Battle of Armageddon, Christ is going to come down and wipe them all out. God's going to use, I say Christ and God interchangeably, so bear with me. God's going to use an earthquake here. Ready? In the land of Israel, verse 20, the fish of the sea and the fowl of the heavens and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men who are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against him on all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. So in the chaos of this earthquake, all these nations are going to turn on each other, start killing each other. So they're going to go to wipe out Israel, right? In this massive earthquake, this has caused some confusion, and they're going to start turning on each other. So those they don't recognize, they're going to start, you know, killing each other off. Verse 22, I will enter into judgment with him, with pestilence, and with blood. So we're going to start seeing some diseases here in blood. We're also going to see, I will rain upon him and upon his troops and upon the many peoples who are with him, an overwhelming rain, hailstones, fire, and brimstone. There's another weapon. We're going to see torrential downpour of rain, hailstorms, and fire. That's another weapon God's going to use. So all these things that look like they're natural disasters, right? Now again, God's causing this to happen. He's actually authoring these things to happen, okay? He's doing it. He's protecting his children of Israel, even though right now they're not serving him. Okay, we'll go down. Verse 23, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So God is exalting himself through these judgments, right? These nations are going to know. Whoa. Okay, this is amazing. Any questions so far? So we'll take a break before we go into chapter 39. So the purpose of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Okay, here's the purpose. Number one, the invaders will desire more territory. If you look at verse number 8, the people coming in desire more land. They desire more territory. It's different than the Battle of Armageddon because they want to wipe out just Israel. They hate Israel. They don't care about land in Battle of Armageddon. They want to kill the people. Here, they want the land. Number two, if you look at verse number 12, they want money. So Israel has something of value, whether it's oil, I don't know what it is, but they want money. Israel has something that they want. Number three, along with land and money, there is some racism there. Number three, there is some racism in verses 10 and 16. Number four, we see power. These invaders will use this attack, I believe, to challenge the Antichrist. They're going to challenge the Antichrist. Because they're going against Israel, right? They think they're peace and safety, and yet they're going to get wiped out supernaturally. Which goes with Daniel 9:27. Now, as crazy as these people, all these nations, I mean, when you look on the map, they are outnumbered. Here's Israel. Here's all these nations, south, you know, north, east. They're coming around. It's impossible for them to win. They can't win. And yet, God takes care of them through these four events, right? And these weapons. So we'll go over again. We'll go over the weapons real quick. The weapons God uses is an earthquake. God uses an earthquake to conquer these people. I believe it's going to confuse these people. Which number two, there's going to be infighting among themselves. They're going to start killing each other off after this earthquake. There's going to be a disease that comes through that will attack these people. And number four, we see rain, hailstorm, fire, according to 38:22. They're going out against Israel, and yet God delivers them. It's really cool to see. So any questions so far? Now again, whatever timing you have, before the rapture, after the rapture, this is still an amazing feat. But it's still really cool, no matter what your view is, how God's going to do this. And see, this is where it can fit with pre-trib, because God's dealing with the nation of Israel again, not the church. And it could just be a point in time where God says, I'm just going to do this during the church period. So either way, it's fine. The leader, he's a prince. Actually, let's look at it. Chapter 39. Ready? So verse 39, moreover, you son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, I am against you, O God, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. So this man is the leader. He's some kind of high authority. He's not the Antichrist. He's the leader of this invasion to wipe these people out. So he's a prince. Anybody have any thoughts on that? We don't know who he is in particular, but he's considered, God's giving him the name prince. He's the elevated one. This leader, Gog, is the leader with Magog to go around, these nations to go around Israel. Putin? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of them, yep. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a man. Yeah. Hmm? Right, possibly. Could be. Yep. Yeah. Right. Right. Yep, all the stand countries. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, continuing on here. And I will turn you back, drive you on, and take you up with the north parts and bring you against the mountains of Israel. And I will strike your bow out of your left hand and will cause your arrows to fall out of your hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and peoples who are with you. I will give you to the ravenous birds of every sort, and the beasts of the field be devoured. You shall fall upon the open field. For I have spoken, says the Lord God, I will send a fire on Magog and among those who dwell safely in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So again, if you keep on reading, it's talking about what he's going to do to these people, how he's going to wipe them out. It's specific to those Gentile nations going against Israel. Pretty intense. Pretty intense. So again, before the rapture, could be. After the rapture, could be. Either way, it's what we're going to see. That is in the first 3.5 years. That's when he comes as a peaceful, person. Yeah, as like a politician. Yeah, so he has a bow but no arrows, so he's not fighting. And that's the first 3.5 years. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And that is the Antichrist, yes. We know for sure that that's him. Yep, this can get confused sometimes with the Battle of Armageddon, because it has the same language, Gog and Magog. But these are two different judgments. One is on the Gentile nations, and we see what God's going to use, different weapons that God's going to use Armageddon, Christ comes down to rule and reign for 1,000 years. He's coming down, and he's going to wipe them out. At that same time, which goes into one of Julie's questions last week, when they'll look to Christ. So that remnant that's in Jerusalem will be surrounded. Matter of fact, people are going to lose like half of Jerusalem. It's like all hope is gone when the Antichrist comes, with hatred towards them the last 3.5 years, right? And when Christ comes down, they're gonna repent to Jesus Christ. It's literally look on him whom they have pierced. So they're gonna say, "Whoa, we did deny him the first time he was here." Because Zechariah 12 and 13 talk about the first advent when Christ comes and how Israel denied him. But Christ is gonna come back again and they're gonna accept him. Now a small group will. Not all the Jews will accept Christ. Only a small group. So that's different. Christ is going to come down and wipe them out. We're going to come with them. Battle of Armageddon, his bride comes with him. Satan will come with him. So right here, he's still in heaven, just unleashing natural disasters to judge these nations. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, the nation. Exactly. Yep, exactly. So there's going to be a lot that don't believe. Yep, there's going to be a lot that don't believe. But there's going to that nation will be saved. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Good question. Yes. Because also, if you read in Zechariah 12 through 14, there are Jewish false prophets. They're Jews and they're false prophets. And they're going to get called out. They're going to be like, "Oh no, I wasn't a prophet. I'm just a guy that's a farmer." You know? Yes. The nation will be saved. There'll be a small remnant that believe. There'll be a lot of Jews that don't believe, though. Which, and again, Battle of Armageddon, when it comes down and rules and reigns, we have a judgment of the sheep and goats. Right? The unsaved, the unbelieving are tormented. That's the what you see in Matthew. How there's one in the field, one not, one goes away. The one that goes away will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those are all tribulation to millennium verses. Those are all tribulation verses at the very end of the tribulation. When you see, someone's in the field, someone's gone, someone's at the mill, then they leave. Those are all in the tribulation. The ones that leave, those go to be punished because weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's Battle of Armageddon. The ones that are alive and remain, those go in the millennium and live forever. Make sense? No? Okay. Let's pause for a second. We got 5 minutes here. Let's clear some things up. What do you got? What do we got? You trying to grasp it all? Yes. It's a rapture, but not of saved people. Yeah. So so Christ is in the clouds. Oh, yeah. Totally different. Oh, yeah. So in the rapture, the body, the believers, will meet up Christ in the air. They're raptured. What's raptured is in the Bible. Latin Bible. So the Latin Bible says the word raptured, right? Because it's a Latin word. So, if someone says, rapture's not in the Bible, technically it is in the Latin Bible. Anyway, so that we're going to meet him in the air, right? And there's no judgment at the rapture on the earth. There's no judgment. We meet him up and we go up with him. There's a judgment in heaven for the believers, but there's no judgment on the earth. At the second coming, there is a judgment. So at the Battle of Armageddon, he comes down and wipes everybody out. And at that time, he's going to judge those that followed Christ, that followed the 144,000 and two witnesses. Those are going to be the sheep. They go into the millennium. And then the goats, the unbelieving, they get cast out. So anytime in Matthew you see weeping and gnashing of teeth, one together, one not, one here, one taken, that is the last 3.5 years of tribulation. It kind of clears things up, huh? No, all believers. Okay, so according to Matthew, yeah, that's good. You're right. The first generation of believers that go into the millennium will have eternal life. So for that 1,000 years, they will not rebel against Christ. When Satan's released after 1,000 years, that first generation will not rebel. They're promised eternal life. Okay? Now, their kids and grandkids and grandkids and grandkids and grandkids, some of those might. Mm-hmm. But yes. Yep. After 1,000 years, yep, he's loosed, and that first generation will not rebel. They'll have everlasting life. Now, second, third, fourth, go down 1,000 years, or however many generations that is, some of those are going to go against God. Wait and find out. Yeah. The key words are first fruits. 144,000 are first fruits. Okay, and we'll look at that, what that means. And we will go over 144,000 that are very important because they're mentioned in two chapters in Revelation. We'll look at what their job is, what they're going to do. Are they protected? Will they die? Are they going to live throughout the entire 7 years? Are they going to be, what's going to happen? We will cover it. Yeah, yes. That's the Greek. The Greek is a snatching away. The Latin word is the rapture. Rapio, rapizo, whatever. That's the Latin. So it's in the Bible. It's just a Latin Bible. Yeah. Right. Bingo. Thank you, Dennis. Anything else before we close in prayer? Clear as mud? All right, good. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. Lord, we're just grateful for Paul and him being our apostle. Lord, it is very clear what the church should be doing. And Lord, I'm just thankful for the clarity of Scripture on the church and the epistles. And Lord, I do enjoy eschatology. I love going to the Old Testament, Lord, and seeing how you're going to deal with your people again in the future. I love the letter that John wrote for the future events. And Lord, I ask you, can you just give us wisdom and understanding and discernment to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.